negotiating every aspect of his life. He is involved in a cycle whereby devotion to regular prayer and study of the writings draws him further into the world of the Spirit, where a sense of security and well-being reinforces his growing desire to pray and deepen. This continues until he begins to recognize and appreciate the power of his revelation. Because of this power, the only Baha'i on a tiny island or a big city is potentially a group, a local spiritual assembly, a community, and a pioneer producing center. When Shoghi Effendi revealed the first seven-year plan, there were no living hands of the cause of God, no counselors, no auxiliary board members, and their assistants. There were only eight national spiritual assemblies and a few local spiritual assemblies, most of them plagued with the kind of problems fledgling institutions suffer from. He didn't allow the immaturity of the assemblies to deter him from setting in motion the mechanism for further collective growth in the faith. He knew that in time, through prayer and deepening, the infant institutions, often wobbly and fumbling, would grow stronger and one day evolve into houses of justice. Certainly the goals of the first seven-year plan pale in comparison with the international seven-year plan launched in 1979. In 44 years, considerable growth has taken place. 140 national spiritual assemblies, nearly 30,000 local spiritual assemblies, and Baha'is residing in 113,000 localities in the world. Consider what the number will be in the year 2000, and what about 2050, or the year 2500. In his 36 years as guardian, Shoghi Effendi galvanized the Baha'i world. The significance of that achievement isn't known to most people. In the future, it will be common knowledge that Shoghi Effendi forged the Divine Civilization's foundation. They'll also recognize that he created the pattern for further construction of that civilization. Evidence of that is already apparent. The plans issued by the Universal House of Justice are modeled after the Guardian's plan. Shoghi Effendi was truly a historic figure, far greater in reality than his contemporaries, who gained greater recognition in their lifetimes. Unlike them, he didn't seek personal publicity or lust for power. His was a divine mission, and he dedicated his life to it, allowing absolutely nothing to deter him from fulfilling everything that was expected of him. Those who really knew him might say he had been chosen to carry out what God had willed. In witnessing Shoghi Effendi's involvement in that process, they experienced an expression of sacrifice that transforms their lives and touched thousands of others. He was a tender teacher who enlightened those who were willing to be taught. In a way, he was a far-reaching light that guided the Baha'is through the darkened wastelands of decaying civilizations to the mountaintop to hear Baha'u'llah's call. That light, in terms of his 36,000 letters and messages, as well as his translations and plans, is still illuminating the path to a glorious future for a terribly troubled humanity. In basic earthly terms, the light of Shoghi Effendi expired, but only as his grandfather expected it would. Behold the candle, how it gives its light. It weeps its life away, drop by drop, to give forth its flame of light.